that Sylvia Cloutier and another member of that family, and it's great to hear that traditional singing from the Arctic, and nice to know that some of the life up there is really being savored and things are working well. It's nice to hear a very positive, refreshing story from the Arctic. Well, a senior Chinese official has warned the Canadian government that the trade and political relationships between the two are falling behind. The comments come as Canada continues to press the case of a dual Canadian-Chinese citizen imprisoned in China. Meanwhile, opposition members of parliament have severely criticized the government's dealings with China, going so far as to call it a cold war. RCI's Lynn Desjardins joins me now with more. Lynn, what's going on right now between Canada and China?
Well, Carmel, as you know, Canada got a new government about 1 year ago. Since it came into power, there have been all kinds of complaints that it's not been dealing with China very effectively. The main complaint is neglect. The Prime Minister has not visited China, nor have many of his ministers. And in the dealings the government has had, it's been pressing human rights issues at the top of the agenda. Question is, has this really hurt business?
And I guess the case of Hussein Jalil is another irritant between the two countries.
Yeah, that's right, Carmel. As you know, Jalil is from the Uyghur minority in China. Just to give you a bit of background, he fled there in the mid-1990s, eventually applied for and got refugee status in Canada, and is now a Canadian citizen, actually dual citizen with China. About a year ago, he was traveling on his Canadian passport in Uzbekistan. He was arrested and deported to China, where he has been in prison ever since. China refuses to recognize his Canadian citizenship or to let any Canadian diplomat see him. This has China experts worried not only for Mr. Jalil, but for other Canadians who may have fled China and sought refugee status here. He wonders, you know, could they too face extradition to China if they were, for example, visiting another country? Meanwhile, Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper has really been quite angry, expressed deep dismay that China does not recognize Mr. Jalil's Canadian citizenship. He's dispatched two diplomats to the city where his trial is taking place and has ordered them to observe the proceedings.
So is this case and other human rights issues hurting relations between the two countries?
Well, Charles Burton doesn't think so. He is a former counselor to the Canadian Embassy in Beijing, really has studied China extensively and now teaches at Brock University. He essentially says the previous government of Canada soft-pedaled human rights and got no further ahead than this one.
Certainly Mr. Harper has made it clear that our existing human rights engagement with China has not been satisfactory. The quiet diplomacy technique doesn't seem to have led to any substantive improvements in human rights in China, and nor has it led to improved trade relations with China in the sense that over the Martin and Chrétien years, our market share in China has actually declined, and more recently it's actually gone down in absolute terms, which is very disturbing.
Now, Charles Burton adds that other countries have pursued human rights agendas with China, and they have done a lot better than Canada has in trade.
So what is it, then, that Canada's doing wrong?
Well, Mr. Burton agrees with the business people here that Canada is not doing enough to engage with China.
You know, it's our fault, really. I don't think that we've been sending people to China who have the requisite expertise to fully express our interests, and a lot of our trade promotion policies are a bit out of date, and we haven't been keeping up with other countries. And so relatively speaking, countries like Australia and the United States have been taking market share from us in the Chinese market. So I think that we have to look to the experience of the successful countries and see if we can learn from them and try and catch up. Because obviously the Canada-China economic relationship is very important to Canada's future prosperity.
Now, Lynn, you mentioned business. What does the business world think about relations with China?
Well, I spoke with Nancy Hughes Anthony. She's the president of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. She agrees that both Canadian business people and politicians have to be more present in China.
I was in China, just came back about a week ago, and I think it's the facts. I certainly felt in my meetings with Chinese officials and some of their business and investment councils, that they don't think of Canada as being particularly eager to do business with China these days. They're friendly, they're courteous, they're cordial, and they'd like to see more Canadian business, but they sort of say, gee, Canada really isn't here. Canada really isn't being as assertive and as positive as some other countries are.
Does Ms. Anthony think the human rights agenda hurts Canada's trade relations with China?
Well, it's interesting. She doesn't say that Canada should not press human rights, but she does say Canada has to be careful in how it broaches the subject.
Nobody in my visit to China specifically said that to me in words. I think it is the tone from the top. When I was in China in January, the government people there spoke very positively about the fact that Minister Emerson was there for a visit, that Minister Flaherty was also there for a visit. That was deemed to be very positive signals that Canada was interested in continuing the dialogue with China. So it really depends how you conduct your discourse with the Chinese government officials. And I think really that is where Canada has to think very carefully about what issues come first on the table when you actually have those few minutes with the Chinese leadership, as the Prime Minister did at the APEC summit. Do you lead with human rights? Do you lead with consular cases that are admittedly very troublesome? Or do you lead with the overall effort to increase and deepen the relationship? I personally think that the constructive engagement you have through trade and various business relationships will serve you in good stead as a way to then have dialogue about some of these other more troublesome issues.
So, Carmel, that's Nancy Hughes-Anthony of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, and as you heard, quite a different view from Charles Burton, who doesn't think really it makes much difference at all. All of these views are currently being heard by the Canadian government. It has been holding hearings on how Canada addresses human rights in China and how that affects the broader relationship. So that committee will finish up its hearings in about a month's time, and it will then make recommendations to Parliament on what should be changed in these relations with China.
So obviously an ongoing story here,
yep.
Lynn. Thank you for this.
You're welcome.
RCI's Lynn Desjardins. And a little Julie Black now. She's one of the Canadian...